Up undisturbed, there's an everlasting high-pitched machine room clatter, a prison mill stamping out license plates, and time is measured out by the didock, didock of a ping-pong table. Men pacing their personal runways get to a wall and dip a shoulder and turn and pace back to another wall, dip a shoulder and turn and back again, fast short steps, wearing crisscrossing ruts in the tile floor with a look of caged thirst. There's a singed smell of men scared, berserk, and out of control, and in the corners and under the ping-pong table there's things crouched, gnashing their teeth that the doctors and nurses can't see and the aides can't kill with disinfectant. When the ward door opened, I smelled that singed smell and heard that gnash of teeth. A tall, bony old guy, dangling from a wire screwed in between his shoulder blades, met McMurphy and me at the door when the aides brought us in. He looked us over with yellow, scaled eyes and shook his head. "I wash my hands of the whole deal," he told one of the colored aides, and the wire drug him off down the hall. We followed him down to the day room, and McMurphy stopped at the door and spread his feet and tipped his head back to look things over. He tried to put his thumbs in his pockets, but the cuffs were too tight. "It's a scene," he said out of the side of his mouth. I nodded my head. I'd seen it all before. A couple of the guys pacing stopped to look at us, and the old bony man came dragging by again, washing his hands of the whole deal. Nobody paid us much mind at first. The aides went off to the nurse's station, leaving us standing in the day room door. McMurphy's eye was puffed to give him a steady wink, and I could tell it hurt his lips to grin. He raised his cuffed hands and stood looking at the clatter of movement and took a deep breath. "McMurphy's the name, pardners," he said in his drawling cowboy actor's voice. "And the thing I want to know is who's the peckerwood runs the poker game in this establishment?" The ping-pong clock died down in a rapid ticking on the floor. "I don't deal blackjack so good hobbled like this, but I maintain I'm a fire eater in a stud game." He yawned, hitched a shoulder, bent down and cleared his throat, and spat something at a waste paper can 5 feet away. It rattled in with a ting, and he straightened up again, grinned, and licked his tongue at the bloody gap in his teeth. "Had a run-in downstairs. Me and the chief here locked horns with two grease monkeys." All the stamp mill racket had stopped by this time, and everybody was looking toward the two of us at the door. McMurphy drew eyes to him like a sideshow barker. Beside him, I found that I was obliged to be looked at, too, and with people staring at me, I felt I had to stand up straight and tall as I could. That made my back hurt where I'd fallen in the shower with the black boy on me, but I didn't let on. One hungry looker with a head of shaggy black hair came up and held his hand like he figured I had something for him. I tried to ignore him, but he kept running around in front of whichever way I turned, like a little kid holding that empty hand cupped out to me.